Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We've been looking at the inscriptions on the doors of Jannah, as narrated by a hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, quoting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that the angel Jibreel brought these inscriptions of the 8 doors of Jannah and the 7 doors of Jahannam. Today we will look at the next door, which is the 5th door. And the inscription on this says, Man arada an la yudlama fala yadlim, wa man arada an la yushtama fala yashtam, wa man arada an la yudilla fala yudil, wa man arada an yastamsika bil urwati alwuthqa fi dunya wal akhira, fal yaqul la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. One who does not wish to be dealt with unjustly should not do injustice. One who does not wish to be abused should not abuse. One who does not wish to be belittled should not belittle others. And one who wishes to hold on to a firm rope in this world and in the hereafter should say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Such an awesome inscription. If you don't want something done to you, then don't do it. But let's look at each aspect of it. The first one says, do not commit injustice. Again, we've talked about it, but the importance of this is just paramount. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do not do dhulm on others any more than you would like it to be done to yourself. And whoever instigates injustice will in the future bite his hands in regret. There was a man who wrote to Abu Dharr Ghifari, a respective companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for advice. And Abu Dharr asked him not to be unjust to the one he loved the most. When the man received the reply, he was a little disappointed. What was Abu Dharr trying to say? How would anyone do dhulm on the one they loved the most? And so he decided to write back, asking for an explanation. And Abu Dharr said, the meaning is quite simple. To every living being, the most loved one is the self, the nafs, the soul. To you, your soul is the most beloved. And therefore I meant for you not to do any injustice to yourself. Remember, when one commits a sin and acts against the laws of God, one harms oneself. Maybe the form of dhulm that maybe we don't understand sometimes is bullying or exploitation of others, or the assertiveness that we so much value these days, and we don't realize how much we belittle others and abuse them, which leads on to the next two qualities. The second one being, do not abuse. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, indeed Allah is angry with the one who uses abusive language towards others. There was a man who once came to a gathering where Imam Ali Zainul Abidin was present, and having a grudge against the Ahlul Bayt, he started using abusive language, insulting Imam in front of all the others. He then left abruptly. When he left, Imam told those who were present, you have seen how abusive this man was towards me. Now I wish to go to him with all of you and give him a reply to what he has said. Everybody thought that Imam would deal with him harshly. And through the short walk to his house, and it's quite important we understand this, Imam alayhi salam kept on repeating the ayah of Surah Ali Imran. This is ayah 134, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي الصَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who spend in the way of Allah in ease as well as in straightness, and those who restrain their anger and pardon human beings, and Allah loves the doers of good to others. I remember as a child, when we got angry over things, my father would say, وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْذَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Whenever you get angry, just as Imam did, when somebody abuses you, repeat this ayah again and again and again. Now when they reached the man's house, they knocked on the door and called out to him. Now he thought that Imam and his companions had come to punish him, and he came out fearing the worst, only to find Imam smiling at him. And Imam said, you know, an hour ago you came to me and you used such abusive language. I have come to tell you that if you have spoken the truth and the evil that you have said I have done exists, then I pray to Allah that He may forgive me. However, if you have lied, then I pray to Allah that He may overlook your sin and forgive you. The man was just overwhelmed. In front of such a generous attitude, he said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, none of the things I said exist in you. I am more deserving of possessing them. Please forgive me. It is also important to address the issue rather than build it up so that it becomes resentment or hatred or anger. And the third quality was not to belittle others. In Surah Al-Luqman, you know, it's such a beautiful surah, the advice given by Hazrat Luqman to his son in Ayah 18, where he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ قَذَّقَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Do not turn your face away from people in contempt, nor go about in the land exulting, being proud. Surely Allah does not love any self-conceited boaster. You know, if anyone who wishes to be above others seems to think that the only way they can do that is by stepping on them, we tend to think that by humiliating and belittling others, it raises us. But the source always comes from an inferiority complex within. Because in essence, anybody who thinks, anybody who's got any sort of intelligence, can never ever abuse somebody by belittling them. And we know that the only criteria in the eyes of Allah of greatness or smallness is God consciousness. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, our human beings, Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. O human beings, we have created you from one man and one woman, and we have made you into tribes and communities so that you may recognize each other. But the most honored in the eyes of Allah is the one who is the most God conscious. Imam Sadiq al-Islam says that the only reason a person suffers from the disease of arrogance is an inferiority complex which they see in themselves. Now it's a disease. And if you feel that you belittle others, then you've got to understand the symptoms. Let's look at the symptoms. A person who has this disease does not like to be equal to others in any matter. They always want to go ahead of others and sit at higher places in a gathering. They expect others to greet them first. If they're given advice, they get annoyed. If they advise anyone, it is with tormenting them. If their words are not accepted, they get angry. When they teach, they belittle. They belittle their students, reminding them of the favor done to them, and consider the students to be their servants. And maybe one of the best lessons is a lesson that we see from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Masjid al-Nabi, when he was sitting in a circle with his companions, when a poor man came in, his poverty was apparent by his tattered clothes. And remember, it is the akhlaq of a majlis to sit where there is a vacant place and not look at a place to suit one's status. When the poor man saw space, he sat down. But it just so happened that the space was near a rich man who gathered his clothes and pulled them towards himself as if to create a distance between him and the poor man. And it seemed that the rich man was feeling a little uneasy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was watching this behavior, and he told the rich man, Do you fear that some of his poverty might stick to you? And the rich man said, No, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, Did you fear that something out of your wealth might be transferred to him? And he said, No. So he said, Did you fear that your clothes might get dirtied by touching his clothes? And he said, No. Then he said, Why did you move yourself away from him? And the man said, I admit I made a grave mistake. I would like to make amends, and I'd like to give half my wealth to this Muslim brother of mine. And the poor man, when he heard those words, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I am not prepared to take his offer. The companions who were present there were surprised, and they said, Why? And he says, I fear, lest with the wealth I am offered, I too may become arrogant, and one day may belittle one of my brothers in Islam in the manner in which I was treated today. Something to ponder about and think about. And finally, the last quality on this door says that if you wish to be successful, so beautiful, it says that you must be able to a firm and success was holding on to the firm rope of the world and the hereafter, urwatul wuthqa, then you must say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Remember, la ilaha illallah is the essence of the whole message of Islam. It's the basis of all du'as. Recite it continuously. If you forget everything at times of distress, at any time for that matter, just recite la ilaha illallah. And we begin our affirmation with Allah, meaning no. We start off by saying no to all other gods, and then we affirm the tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before we go to the purity of tawheed, we've got to remind ourselves to turn away from all gods, whether it's wealth or personality or hypocrisy, and direct ourselves to Allah. It's a wonderful hadith that I love whenever I say la ilaha illallah. And it is a hadith that even children know. It's beautiful, and we call it the hadith of the golden chain. I remember my first chain that my father gave me to wear. And when he put the chain on me, he said, whenever you look at this, say, la ilaha illallah, and remember the hadith that I'm about to tell you. Maybe we can do that when we give presents to our children. The hadith goes that it was Imam Ridha alayhi salam who was traveling to the town of Nishapur in Iran on his way to Marv, where Mamun Rashid had called him. Now, people and scholars had lined the way, and when they saw that Imam was coming, they asked him to narrate a hadith to them. I remember it is said that those who wrote down this hadith were 20,000. And Imam alayhi salam said, my father, Musa al-Qadim, narrated from me to me from his father Ja'far al-Sadiq, from his father Muhammad al-Baqir, from his father Ali Zain al-Abidin, from his father the martyr for Karbala, from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, saying, my loved one and the pleasure of my eyes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that Jibreel told him from his Rabb, the kalima of la ilaha illallah is my fort. Whoever says it will enter my fort, and whoever enters my fort is safe from my punishment. People started reciting the kalima so much so that it is said that the walls of Nishapur were reverberating with the noise or with the sound of la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And they added Muhammadur Rasulullah when Imam put his hand up and said, the kalima is Allah's fort. It will provide you with excellent safety, but on one condition only, and that is that you obey and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Ahlul Bayt. Inshallah, we will continue with the inscriptions on the door of Jannah, and we'll be looking at the sixth door of Jannah.